Okay. This is the second in our series. And more on the way. This is the second in our series on practical steps. This cloak, four. On social, three things the world stands upon. We'll talk about practical steps towards at least attempting to master and really succeed in these realms. The sheets are up here. Let's note the following. We're going to try to divide this into, I think, four sections. We'll speak a little bit about an introduction to Hasmada. We'll try and define what Hasmada is. We will then try and talk about, I guess, three or four misconceptions, mistakes along the way that sometimes can be made. And then we will try and talk about three or four pieces of advice as far as how we can really focus more. That's the plan. Let's start with introduction from Time Magazine. There are other stats out there. This should be good enough to prove the general point. In the office, nearly 50% of American employees say they work for only 15 minutes before becoming distracted. That's about half of America can't work, and this is the group that's working. Half of America can't work without for 15 minutes without becoming distracted. And over 53% report wasting an hour or more a day because of disruptions. It's a lot of time. A lot of time, an hour a day, because of distractions. Someone told me recently that they're working through their learning, they're working for a particular group where they have to clock their time, clock their hours. And he said it was like a good afternoon seder, so it's a, I don't know, 3.5-4 afternoon seder. And he felt like it was a good afternoon seder, but he was clocking every break, every time he got up to the bathroom, every time he clocked to do anything. And he realized that like a good afternoon for him, it was over an hour that he was just not learning in that 4-hour stretch between getting up here, smoothing with this guy here for 2 minutes, and then getting up there. Sometimes at the coffee break, you know, when it's like your 11th coffee break in the afternoon, so that sometimes can impinge on our ability to focus. From constant noise to overflowing inboxes to feeling fatigued or stressed, almost anything can cause people to lose focus. Attention spans vary wildly between people, but 20-somethings may be at a particular disadvantage. There's a Kal Vachomer for those that have not yet turned 20 included in this, okay? This is not like a... It's worse. With the explosion of the internet and text messaging, many Generation Yers may be dealing with shorter attention spans built in. And, listen up, some research suggests men have a harder time focusing than women and are more likely to suffer from attention span issues. That means that the people in this room who are younger, who are male... Tarsi Lareyes, that would be the phrase. We are in a little bit of a tricky spot. We're in a little bit of a tricky spot. Many of us don't need stats confirming that. Many of us are... We live that. We live that. Even those of us that are pretty good with it certainly are aware of the fact, and just it can be hard. It can be hard to sit for a really long stretch of time with a certain degree of focus. It's very challenging. We're going to talk about it today mostly in terms of learning. A lot of what we're talking about are not issues that are unique to learning. People that are, you know, when you're in college and you're studying for your biology final, the same issues occur there also. The need to be able to sit down and focus for an extended period of time is something which will help us in so many different realms. Let's talk a little bit about Hasmada and a couple of interesting parts. This is all by way of introduction. Pasuk tells us in Devarim Vav Zayin, Vishnatim Levanecha, we should be familiar with this. We teach our children, Vidibarta Bab. So here we're talking about the mitzvah to learn Torah. When do we do it? B'shittucha v'vesecha v'latcha v'aderech v'shapcha v'kumecha. Similarly in Yoshua, L'yomah Shefer Torah, and Yipicha, V'gisa v'yomah v'layla. There are two different things described in these psukim as far as our commitment to Talmud Torah. One is a commitment of time. V'gisa v'yomah v'layla. Day and night. Now, what exactly that means in terms of the Peshuto Shel Mikra is not as clear whether that means all day and all night or some point during the day, some point at night. It's clear that there are times in the day where you're learning both in the morning and at night. The Pasuk in Veschanan also, B'shachvacha uv kumecha, when you wake up and when you go to sleep, when you go to sleep and when you wake up. Throughout the day, whether it's the morning or at night, that's a time for learning. It's also clear, and this is where it gets to be a little bit of a chiddush, that this is true not only Peshuto Shel Mikra as far as time goes, but also as far as place goes. B'shivtecha b'veisacha, when you're sitting at home. Now, for some, that may be a little bit simpler, depending on what exactly is going on in your home. I was just home. I wasn't trying to learn. I was trying to clean up the broken glass on the floor. But that was a little bit of a hard time to be able to learn. And while you're walking in the street, learning while you're walking in the street, that is exceptionally challenging. The amount of distractions you have, I mean, we are located in one of the places with the least amount of distractions outside, known to man. I mean, like, you walk outside, like, nothing's happening right now. It's 6:25, and it's silent outside. It's like 3:30 in the morning in other places. That's us all day. We don't have that many distractions. In most places, how am I going to be able to focus and learn, even in times like that? That's something which is obviously very, very challenging. It's obviously very challenging. Couple things that we know these as a davar pasha. The Gemara Megillah tells us that we quoted this last week. Only if you got to umatzati. These are things that require hard work. It's hard to learn. It's hard to make our way through it. If we think that we're ever going to hear, I try in all this year, and we're avoiding like mystical segulas, not because they're not real, but because I don't want to give the impression that is really going to be what's going to produce results. It's hard work that's going to produce results in all of these realms. If it's hard to focus, there are things that we can do. There are tricks here or there. We'll talk about some of them later. But end of the day, you got to matzati. It's about really hard work. I was giving my son a bath last night, and I asked him. He's five. He's really the source of incredible wisdom for me. So I said to him, it was last night. I said, it's going to be a busy day tomorrow. He said, why? I said, well, I'm giving three shiurim tomorrow. So he said, what are they on? So I said, the first is on Gemara. I said, the last is on, how much imas should be learning Torah. And I said, the second is about how do you focus and concentrate when you're learning? How do you like stay focused? So I said to him, do you have any advice that I should give the guys? So he said, he had one idea. He said, tell them that no one can do it but them. I said, what do you mean no one can do it but them? So he said, well, you can ask someone to learn for you, but then you're still not going to know the Torah. The only way you're going to know the Torah is if you do it yourself. I may have, made a little bit, took a little bit of a tremp on his, but that's his idea. You can, no one else can do it for you. No one else can do it for you. If you prefer, if it didn't make Twitter, but if you prefer, statements of the Talmud as opposed to, tweets. So, Ein Hadavar Tali Elavi, Gemar Masechta Avodah Zarah. Ultimately, it's up to us. No one can do it for you. In the Yisachar Zvulun relationship, which is the most extreme kind of a relationship, we still, the Zvulans of the world, still don't know that Torah. No one can do it but them. Why is Hasmada so important? So two things. Number one, the Maharal writes, for those that are into the world of Machshava, Maharal writes, and this is a theme he talks about in a couple different places here, it's from the Sefer Torah, that Torah is above time. Torah is beyond, it can't be limited to particular zmanim. It's something which existed before the world. It's something which it's not shayach to the world of time. And because it's not shayach to the world of time, says the Maharal, so our hasmada also has to not be shayach to the world of time. That's something which we just do for, I have a set time here, I do it for 20 minutes, I have a set time here, I do it for 20 minutes. Says the Maharal, our relationship to Torah has to be like Torah itself. It has to be something which is, it's not shayach to a particular zmanim. It's beyond that. We are kol kulo engrossed in it. That it's not about particular times. The same way if you read stories about, your stories about, sorry, I hate sports references, so I'll try and avoid sports references. I'll move on. They have it with athletes as far as growing up, who are investing thousands of hours. Pete Maravich, if I'm going to quote a sports player, I'll go with an old one. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of drills. It's not shayach to time. There's a commitment that's not limited to particular times. Hasmada's like that also. It's not limited to Seder time. It's something which defines a person's life. See, is that okay? That was a good reference, no? It was old school.
I asked Ezra, if when he retired, if he's still playing. But
what?
Ezra said he retired already.
He died like 50 years ago. Yeah. Whatever. I think so, no? Anyone here? Are you a fan of basketball? Okay, I don't know. I think the old basketball people in the room, which I think includes no one, went to that. Okay. What is Hasmada? What is Hasmada? Oh, sorry, one other thing from the Chaznish. Chaznish finds another reason why. Not like Marav Machshav, but Chaznish has a practical Hara. It says, Lomot Shah Achas, or Lahafsik Shah Achas, to learn for a Shah Achas, to stop for Shah Achas. Shah Achas in Gemara terminology does not really mean an hour, it means a particular a period of time, a small amount of time. Lomot Shah Achas, for Lahafsik Shah Achas, Hukiyam HaTohu HaEfes VeHedem. You learn and you stop, and you learn and you stop, and you learn and you stop. Says the Maharal, is a fulfillment of all that is empty. One will not be as successful. It's not a Maharal idea of the Machshav, the Torah is above time. It's a practical Hara. If you don't invest significant amounts of time in it, it is something which will be very, very... success is going to be much harder. Success is going to be much harder. People who are great at things invest a lot of time in it. That's for the Malcolm Gladwell fans, the 10,000 hour rule, something like that. But we have to invest a significant amount of time. My hunch is that the 5 minute won't do it as well as investing serious amounts of time. That's by way of introduction. Couple of way of introduction, the challenge of focusing, time and place, the hard work, the message of my wonderful son, the Maharal, and the letter of the Chazon Ish. How do we define Hasmada? How do we define Hasmada? I want to share with you two ideas that run counter, a little bit counter to what we may think. The image we have of the Masmid in quotes, the image that we have of the Masmid is somebody who's learning 24 hours a day. Someone who is really totally engrossed in it. That is certainly one model, Chazal tells in the sixth parak of Mesechas Avos, that one of the ways a person succeeds in Torah is through miut shena, through not sleeping that much. A person is really engrossed in it. This is how some of the Bali Musar explain Yaakov Avinu, Vayishkav Makom HaKuba, for the 14 years in which he was in the house of Shem and Aver learning Torah, that Yaakov never slept. The way many understand it, Yaakov was kimat learning all day. And he never went to sleep. Sometimes he would just crash and he'd fall asleep. He never went to sleep. It's sort of the image we have. Sometimes for the Masmid is a person who's sleeping very, very little, who is fully, fully engrossed, kim'at. You know, every waking moment he's focused on learning. That's the image we have. I want to share with you two other images. One's from a wonderful sefer, Torah Chaim and Pirkei Avos. It's a great sefer of just like brisker insights, maisas and things like that on Pirkei Avos. They have one on Chumash also with a bit on Enach. Really very, very nice. I think it's a quote from the Brisker Rav here. What you think Hasmada, this is something that happens in yeshivas, is to stay up late at night and to sleep during the day. You think Hasmada is the guy who learns so late and doesn't daven in yeshiva? No. I mean, obviously, we would never think that. It's ridiculous. Pshita de Enochein. No, that's not what it is. Bimir. Again, the fact that he's taking this on is because this is a phenomenon that we're aware of. This is a phenomenon in a lot of places. The notion of we stay up and it's very, very late and it's hard in the morning davening. Why should inuchain b'mir habacher hamasmid hayyashin shmonis shaos balayla kiragil? 8 hours a night. 8 hours a night. That was the masmid in mir. What made him into a masmid? Hayomed b'tfila b'yeshiva at seifa. He would stay. He'd go to the yeshiva davening until the end. Until the end, probably even for the Ein Kel Kenya parts, we don't say in America, probably he was even, you know, engaged in that part. Ella, Shekeheref Ayin L'Achar HaTfila, K'vahar Be'emtza Sugya Rosho V'Rubo. But once davening was done, fully engrossed. K'mosha Lamat Sha'a Kodem. Below Levadid Re'echa Be'na Prakim, V'zoi Hasmada HaRetzuyim. The Hasmada wasn't that he didn't sleep at all, and he wasted part of his day, he got out of hours. Otherwise, he slept a good amount. He slept a good 8 hours. But during the day, he was cold, cooler, focused. This is a different model of Asmada. The Asmada that they're describing here from Mir. The very famous idea that they quote in Neima de Netziv. I have it quoted here. It's here from Marbite Torah Umusar. It's from, I think, his son. With Meir Bar Ilan, quotes this in a book put out. It's a great sefer. It's a green book by Professor Emanuel Akis. They have writings of people that learned in Tells and Velazhen. And I think it's there for very, very long. But Hanetziv said the definition of a masmid is someone who le'echol b'shas achila, lishon b'shas shena, lilmod b'shas limud. When it's time to eat, you eat. When it's time to sleep, you sleep. And when it's time to learn, you learn. The masmid, the way they say it, is not someone who learns 24 hours a day. It's someone that learns 60 minutes in an hour. Somebody who's focusing that when we are there, we are maximizing it in the best way possible. It's not that the masmid described in the tziv. Not the guy who you know, when he's eating, has like a, you know, a safer out, and like he's not really learning that well or eating that well. Like the food's falling in his thing. It's like it's not a good situation. The moment he eats, when he eats, he eats. But when he learns, he learns. When he learns, he learns. That's the definition of hasmada. The last point, hasmada wise, is someone who takes advantage of free time. Someone who has the time that's available and really is able to. And it really is able to accomplish it. They quote here from the Chasam Sofer in source number 9. Chasam Sofer said, when they asked him what was his trick in becoming, what was his secret in becoming the Chasam Sofer, really successful, he says, I became a Talmid Chacham through 5 minutes. 5 minutes, as I became a Chacham. With 5 minutes, every 5 minutes I had. Free 5 minutes, I was learning. It's a good midah to cultivate. You're going to shul, you know that you're going to be waiting 5 minutes before, a little bit of time after. You bring a sefer along to be able to start copying those 5 minutes. Beinas manim can be. Look at the mention of manim. It feels like we're like, you know, even mentioning at the beginning of a shir that the shir is almost over. You know, beinas manim coming up. It's a good skill to get over beinas manim. It's a certain kind of ability. Beinas manim is filled with 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there. And to gain that skill, I heard that years ago from a Judah, in the name of Reuben Feinstein, thinking about his father also, there was Moshe, it's copying the 5 minutes here or there, and taking advantage of the free time. That's the mitzvah they say over. Also, again, we're about to start moving a little bit more practical, that Rav Henkin, Zichrono Livracha, when he was waiting once outside the outside of Chaim Ozer, there was a young guy outside who was waiting also. So Rav Henkin wanted to give him chizuk. This is a very famous maisa. Rav Henkin wanted to give him chizuk. So he said to him, so what do you do? And the person said, I work in a store. And he said, do you ever you koveya itim? He said, whenever I have time, I'm koveya itim. That's what the guy said. He said, okay, very nice. When Rav Chaim Ozer walked out, he said to Rav Henkin that person there was the chazanish. He learned whenever he had time. That ended up being, the maisa they said over, was about 18 hours a day. Whenever he had time. Now, the 18 hours a day is not happening for us. It's certainly not happening for us when we're working full time. Obviously wasn't working full time, or else something's up. But he didn't have more hours in the day than we have, you know. But definitely the notion of taking advantage of the time is something that's very important. So far, let's chazer. So far, we saw two things. We saw an introduction to hasmada. We spoke about the challenges of hasmada. We then saw. Hasmada as far as time goes, morning and night. Hasmada as far as place goes. And how do we do that? We'll talk about that in a little bit. We then saw two suggestions as far as why hasmada is so important. The Chazanish mentioning a more practical idea. The Maharal, the notion that Torah is beyond time, and therefore commitment also has to be not about set times, but something that we are kol kulo invested in. To give the mashal here from the Chazanish and things like that, I use this mashal a lot. You're going out with a girl, and every, you know, 5 minutes in the date, you're checking your phone. Or you go out with her for a while, but every 25 minutes you go out for a coffee break, or you go out to go to the bathroom, go to those things. The relationship's never starting. Not only because she won't be as interested, but because you won't, without that certain level of investment, the connection will never be there. Let's talk about four or so misconceptions hasmada-wise. I believe these are four reasons why people sometimes struggle with hasmada. These are four reasons why people sometimes struggle with hasmada. I want to try and challenge some of it. Number one is an insight from Rav Kook. Sichos Ra'aya. Happened this morning in Shir. So I was in non-Shir in Seder this morning. Sometimes we have the feeling that if we know it's not going to be a good day, we wake up in the morning, there's a lot weighing on us. It's a particularly stressful time for whatever reason. Sometimes we have the feeling, even in the morning, we know it's not going to be the simplest day. It's going to be a hard day to focus. We have those days we wake up and we know it's going to be pretty good. We have the days when we wake up and we know it's going to be a bit of a rough day. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a time when we know we've had those moments. I'm a little bit tired. I'm trying to figure out my summer plans and it got a little bit stressed out. Something happened at home. It was a tough conversation. We know that can happen. One of the mistakes we make is when we think we're not going to be able to get to the real serious high point of hasmada, that we sort of throw in the towel a little bit. Rav Kook writes here, V'lo pam haya Rav Mizari, Rav Kook used to tell people, Lachshor al limudam gam kesheim be'afshurishim lomod be'in haroi. It's still important, Rav Kook said, to do chazara, even when you know you're not going to be able to do it in the best way possible. even when you know it's going to be a little bit challenging for you, it's not going to be as simple to do it the way you would like, says Rav Kook, he used to tell the Talmidim, still go for it. I saw a guy this morning, there was a guy in Shir this morning, who was, he was trying very hard, and it was clear, you could see it in the guy's face sometimes, it's a hard morning. It's a hard morning. So he said to me, Taka, it is a hard morning, it's been some challenges, but it's fighting through anyways. Is it the best morning seder you had this year? Undoubtedly not. Is an enormous statement about his asmada, that he was willing to come and to do his best, even though it was hard for him? Certainly. The first misconception we can sometimes make is that hasmada is it's a yes or no question. Hasmada is not either I have it and I'm focused the whole time, or I don't have it and I throw in the towel. Hasmada is a question of giving where I'm at right now, what's the most that I could do? Given where I'm at right now, what is the most that I have the capacity to do? That means that sometimes we'll have to take certain breaks. If I push, I can't do it. But to wake up and to say, today, my avoda is to do the best that I can do, that is point number one. That's point number one. Point number two, and that relates to this, is the Rambam here in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Gimel Zayin. It's a point that the Mishnah tells the Maseches Avos that many of us know, which is a phenomenon we sometimes have to sort of delay and say, right now it's too hard. Right now there's a lot going on. I want to work on my Talmud Torah and my Hasmada. I'll work on it at a later point in time. Right now it's very hard. It's a hard week. It's a hard sugya. It's a hard mesechta. It's a hard, chavrusa-wise, it's not so pashut. We're having a little bit of a rough time. The Rebbe is there now, or the Shol Meshiv is there now, and I'll wait. Sometimes we have it can happen where we say hasmada-wise, right now it's not my avoda. I'll wait until things open up a little bit and things get a bit easier, and then I'll be able to work on it. The Rambam tells us, when it comes to Talmud Torah, it doesn't work that way. We don't delay those moments. We have to do the best we can now. The best we can now. If we wait to become masmida, to be totally focused, until something else happens down the road and suddenly there's no stresses, suddenly it's not that busy, those moments don't really happen. And in life, they only come up, for most of us, with varying degrees, more and more. As you're in college and there's other responsibilities you have, it becomes harder to singularly focus. As you get married, as you have children, as you have a job, it gets harder to singularly focus. As there are so many distractions around, it gets harder to cultivate the capacity for hasmada. Don't wait till later. Don't wait until there aren't distractions there. That moment is not going to happen so soon. There's no guarantees it's going to happen soon. That's point number two. Point number three, this will be the last misconception you think about, is a wonderful Igaris of the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish letters are fantastic. They're great letters. They're really great letters. The Chazon Ish noted the following. Sometimes we think in the wrong direction. And this is true. We know, and we're not mistaken about this entirely. One of the Memchas Kinyani Torah, one of the ways that we become successful in learning is through Simcha. Simcha in learning is very helpful. When you enjoy learning, you want to learn more. When you enjoy learning, you want to learn more. Sometimes one can think, says the Chazon Ish, that the reason why I'm not yet a masmid, the reason why I'm not yet, or we're all masmid, the reason why I'm not yet able to invest as much as I'd like, is because I don't yet love it enough. As I begin to love it more, I'll then be able to learn with greater focus and greater intensity. It's the love of learning that will lead to hasmada. That point is certainly true, but said the Chazon Ish, it works in the opposite direction also. It is through hasmada, said the Chazon Ish, that we cultivate a capacity to love learning. Loving doesn't help us learn. Learning seriously, learning with real hasmada, that is what creates a real ava. That's what creates an ava satori. When you sit down and you have a seder, it's a good 3-hour seder and I'm focusing well and I'm trying as hard as I can, and I make it through that seder even though it's challenging, that is one of the things which causes the greatest oneg in the world, says the Chazon Ish. That's one of the things that leads to a real increased love for Torah. So far, we gave a bit of an introduction why Atman is important. We then spoke about how we're magdir amasmit. The masmit is someone who went to sleep at night, got his sleep, but during the day he was in his learning. The nitziv, it's not about not eating and not sleeping, it's about knowing how to eat, taking it when we eat, time to eat, when we sleep, time to sleep, when we learn, it's time to learn. We then spoke so far about three sort of misconceptions sometimes we can have. We spoke about number one, with Cook's idea, sometimes we wake up and it's a little bit of a hard day, it's a little bit of a challenging day, not to make the mistake of saying, today's not the day. Hasmada means doing the best we could do with the resources we currently have available. The second, not making the mistake, the Rambam encourages us, that the Rambam teaches us based on the Mishnah Masechet Avos, not assuming I'll be kona it later when I have less distractions. The third point is the point of the Chazon Ish, not to think that once I love it, then it will be easier. That's true, but it's also through Hasmada that we get more love. It's through sitting down and clocking a couple of hours that we end up loving it much more. Let's focus a little bit. Let's focus a little bit as to how exactly we do it. There's going to be a combination of some stuff from a variety of Sfarim and some from insights from the secular world is how it is termed here. There's a lot there. There's a lot written in the secular world. There are a couple points why Dafka brought them from the secular world because, I think it'll be helpful to see it. Step one. This we know. This is never Pasha. Let's start like this. You want to study for your biology final. Who here is going to be plans on being pre-med? Anyone know why I asked that question? Really, just to pick up the room a little bit. Everyone's interested in knowing. Who wants to go pre-med? No? We're looking around a little bit. Now we're a little bit more awake. That's a little bit of a break in the middle. That's one tip for Hasmada. One tip for Hasmada sometimes is smaller tasks. It's number 18. It's a way of breaking things and dividing things up. A long hour and 40-minute mahalach is very hard to listen to. But when it's broken up into sections, it becomes much easier. Hasmada-wise, it becomes much easier. When we perceive things in sections. I have my rabbi Jack used to say all the time, we're learning Tosfosin, we used to have the phrase, it's not his phrase, but an inch is a cinch, a yard is hard. It is much easier to tackle smaller amounts. That's true in learning when you're learning a long Tosfos, to divide it up into sections. That's true with Hasmada also, breaking it up into time periods. That's why Mikoros are good sometimes. I'm looking at this now. Sometimes it's about breaking it up into sections. Right now I'm going to focus on the question. I want to work on getting the question. Now I want to get on the answer. This won't help us sometimes if we're reading a very long brisker rough about Sirta, like we referenced last time. It's not going to help us with some of the longer pieces, but with sometimes smaller tasks become helpful for cultivating a degree of Hasmada. That's point number one. Breaking things up a little bit with a smaller task. Now we're into a new section. That's one of the reasons why, again, I make a lot of mistakes as far as teaching goes, but one thing that I think makes sense, always dividing up into sections. Sections 1, section 2, section 3. One of the reasons why we're doing that, one is for memory and chazara purposes, it's much easier. It's not all just one sort of mixture of information. It's different sections that can help us. Helps us with chazara, helps us summarize main points, lashon kitzara. The other reason, that's also why we're doing this now, we're chazaring that. The other thing that that it does is it helps it hopefully be a little bit easier to listen to. Even if this is very, very hard, I'm telling you it would be harder if it weren't in sections. It's a rough time of day. But that section is something which helps it. We have one section now on to a new section, now we can focus for a new section. So, number one is breaking up into smaller tasks is something which is very helpful. Second point, distractions are very, very hard. We live in a world of an enormous amount of distractions. Step one is to try our best to avoid them. What I'm reading right now is from secular literature. This is not coming from the Rosh Hashiva, from the Bima. This is not coming from what's going on in Mir right now with similar issues. It's coming from the secular world. If, in an odd way, even though one would think that, a Rosh Hashiva up in the Bima would be, more effective, this comes from this is something which is very important. Work offline. One survey found nearly 60% of disruptions at work come from email, social networks, and cell phones. So for tasks that don't involve the internet, that would be like most of our learning, try using old-fashioned paper and pen. Perfect for brainstorming. Now, we don't have wireless in the basement. Computers are I live on my computer in the basement. But all the cell phone stuff, that it is something which is so disruptive. I'm not saying this in a Musser Schmooz kind of a way at all. Even the giving out of the source sheets, trying to be koveya. It's not a Musser Schmooz at all. I'm trying just to tachlis. This is advice when you're studying for organic chemistry. This is advice when you're studying psychology or economics. If you want to be able, getting rid of the distractions is something that will help you so much. In the article in 17, this is from Forbes, that they've had more and more over the last year, I've attended a few meetings that could unofficially be designed as technology-free. Meetings where it was known in advance that, isn't it, it's too crazy, we're looking at the phones all the time. We're having technology-free meetings. There are no smartphones here, there are no iPads here, there are no iPhones here, no laptops. These meetings were strangely liberating as we were forced to ignore every chirp and buzz. We were able to focus on the discussion at hand. Increased focus. Number one, smaller chunks. Number two, the distractions just make it more challenging. Distractions are not only a cell phone issue. Let's be smart about where we sit. Where we sit, if we know we're in a particular place where it's very challenging, so maybe I want to think, is there a different place I could sit where it's not going to be as hard? Maybe I want to sit in the back corner because it's a great place to sit. It avoids distractions. Maybe I want to sit, thinking in terms like that. If there are distractions there, what can I do to help and try and avoid some of the distractions? If I learn next to the guy who's like loud, he's just loud. Whatever he's doing is loud. He's just, you know, I'm talking to Chavrusa, whether it's learning or not learning, he's a loud guy, and it distracts you. So that's going to be a challenge. That's to try and avoid those distractions. These are easy points as far as what to mention. These are not pasha to do. It's sometimes very challenging to change the inertia when we're sitting there with every day, but that's something which is l'chora, to try and avoid the distractions. The problem is as follows. Changing distractions only gets us so far. Getting rid of the distractions only gets us so far. This many of us know. Okay, so I'm in Seder, I'm in a good makom. I know that I have to try my best today. I know I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I know the Hasmada is going to help me to love it more. I know I'm going to try if I can, depending on the piece, to have a smaller task. I know I have to try and, again, be in the right place, not have all the same issues. Okay, I'm going to focus right now. And we're sitting there with the Gemara open, and sometimes it's still hard. We've only really spoken so far mostly about the Sor Meira ideas and not enough about the Aseh Tov. Not enough about the things that I can do. We really only mentioned one thing we can do, which is the smaller task. And that's only going to help sometimes. In a Bekiya setting, it's not as simple to do that in a Bekiya setting. Sometimes I say, okay, I'm going to try to get to the Tudas. You try to get there. That's one move, but sometimes it's a little bit more challenging. That's point number one. It's very hard. Point number two, we live in a world with distractions. We want to at once try and minimize them, but also recognize that distractions are in many ways a part of our life. We have to be able to learn and accomplish around distractions. We're going to be in work settings where distractions. We're going to be in homes where there are distractions. And to be able to function when there are distractions around us, if we can, is something which is very helpful. I am forever indebted to my SAR elementary school education for two things. One is a love of the topic of women wearing tefillin. The second is the no walls. No walls. You grow up when you're in a large school with no walls and a lot going on. It's you're either going to drown or you're going to learn how to swim. No, you get the capacity to be able to get to. Sometimes one of the things I got there, distractions don't faze me the same way. That's again, I was brought up in that system. That it's very, very hard. It's very hard. The Ramban al HaTorah in Parshas Ekev, when he describes Dveikus in the Ribono Shel Olam, he describes this kind of a Dveikus where. Not my seventh grade experience. I think that's what the high level he's describing. The Ramban is this Dveikus where even when I'm talking to people, I'm also still thinking about the Ribono Shel Olam. That's a very high madrega. Where Devegas, where I'm talking to people, but I'm still thinking about Devegas Bonar Sha'olam. The Reb Chaim Brisker, that's it for Torah Chaim, with his son, Reb Chaim tried to be mechanic of kids to get that kind of asmada. Asmada where you're doing other things and you're still able to focus on learning. Where there are other things going on around you, you're still focusing on learning. Many of us, this is less of a yeshiva idea. For many of us, this is a summer point. This is important in the summer, where we're going to be very busy for a lot of us. We're working in a counselor in a camp. You're working as a madrich nitzvah kolel, all those places. It's challenging and it's hard. If you're not learning a full-time kolel, it is a little bit hard to be able, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on at all times. And to gain the skill of being able to A, remove some of those distractions, and B, take advantage of them as language is very, very helpful. Let's move on to a couple more of the points as far as the Aseh Tov. Okay, we'll try in the next couple of minutes because it's a lot of me talking today. And well, I hear myself talk a lot every day. I don't know. Yeah, maybe we'll try and take a break soon. Couple other points that I... Okay, smaller task is very, very helpful. Moving distractions, you're right there. Understanding that I have to try my best now, I have to really work hard. Even understanding that it's all up to you and no one else can do it for you, that's all very, very helpful. A couple of the things that I recommend, and you can take it or leave it. We're dealing with a little bit of a new problem right now. The attention spans have gotten shorter, so these are problems that are not... In times of Chazal, we don't have all the same kinds of etzas. It's a little bit of a different challenge. It's a unique kind of a challenge. A couple things. Some of these are going to sound like childish. They may work. Reward yourself. It's here in the source number 18. It's language helps a lot. I do this myself with things. Sometimes it's very hard to focus on something when we know that if we learn very well for the next half hour, we're going to. If you need the break, let's start with this. If you need the break, reward yourself with a break, but very smart about it. Sometimes what can happen in the Seder, what can destroy Hasmada, is when it's a Seder, and we've all had moments like this, where it's like a little bit hard, and then you just end up like schmoozing a little bit, and then, yeah, I need a cup of coffee, I have to go to the bathroom a little bit, meaning, what does that mean? Nothing to do with the bathroom, I just need to get out. And then you schmooze a little bit, you just got stuck in a hard place, next thing you know, it's 45 minutes or an hour later, and, you know, what happened? Breaks are a good thing. We use breaks wisely and use breaks in an intelligent way, and we structure them. I'm going to learn right now for a half hour really, really well. I'm going to learn solidly for a half hour right now. If I know I'm going to have a five-minute break. I'm going to make sure that break's only 5 minutes. It's a conscious break. It's a 5-minute break. Use breaks intelligently. A 45-minute break where you're sort of hocking around, sitting here, not really doing anything, those breaks are not often that productive. Breaks can be productive if they're done in a way where I'm fighting right now for a half hour, and then, again, everyone's amount of time is different. For some, that may be 8 minutes. For some, that may be 2.5 hours, depending on where we're at. I'm going to fight for this long. I'm going to get my 10-minute break. I'm going to have my structured break. I'm now going to come back in. It's not going to be longer. I'm not going to waste time. But sometimes when we know in a half hour, whatever our shear is, it's 45 minutes, it's an hour, it's 10 minutes, it's 11 seconds, whatever that period of time is, the knowledge that I'm almost going to be there can help us get through. There's an end in sight that is something which really can help us. I would recommend doing it with time more than I would with material. I wouldn't do it with a Daf Gemara, with an Amud of Gemara, because sometimes it's an Amud that can be very easy and it's whatever, however long it is for you, it's 23 minutes, and you're ready to, you don't need a break yet. You're thinking anyway, or it's an Amud which is very, very hard, takes a couple hours, and then you know, time-wise, we set periods of time, and let's take it to the next step. That period of time, we're trying to gradually increase. We're trying to gradually increase that period of time. I'm starting with whatever it is, some recommend in the world of attention spans. Starting on day one, start at the beginning of your regular Seder, have a timer in there and see how long you can go in a good stretch. See how long it goes in the heart, whatever it is, and build off of there. Let's say it's a half hour. I can do a half hour longer than that. It's a little bit hard. Maybe I'll learn that certain times of the day are easier, certain times of the day are harder. But I start with my half hour with my 5-minute break. By week two, I want 40 minutes with a 5-minute break. By week three, I want an hour with a thing. We're trying to build more of that time slowly but surely, that's how we get there. When we know the end is there, that helps us. That helps us to focus on it, to use breaks in an intelligent way. Again, not to just hock around a little bit, but it's a break. If you need a break, take a break. If that break can be done at your makom, staring into space, I used to need that sometimes. I've never had anyone else that needed to do this, and I had my old chavrusa. I love the same guy from the end of Shana Bat. We started learning this time of year. We started learning late at night in Adar to Megillah, like the month before, to Misai Megillah, and then we started learning Kaitzman of my Shana Bat. I learned him all the way through Smicha. And a lot of time was learning at least two siddharm a day. There were tkufas where we're learning three siddharm, at least two siddharm a day. I used to sometimes, you're in a sugya and it's just weighing on you. And I used to, I need a minute right now. I'm putting my head, I'm not going to sleep. Putting my head in, I'm not going to think about anything. It's too much. I need a short break. That was for me. I needed that kind of a break. Sometimes I need a longer break. Sometimes going out in the old, in the YU days, the old base measures, you're going across the street to Golan would be too long of a break, but it would obviously be the happiest of breaks. But you go there, you get a drink. Sometimes we need different amounts of different breaks in different times. But to use the breaks the productive way, what do you need for a break? If you need a break to step outside for 5 minutes, then don't spend the 40-minute break just sitting inside the base measure, sort of like staring and whatever. The goal is getting back inside and trying to grow that capacity to be able to do more and more. That was sort of two points you mentioned. Notion of rewarding ourselves. We spoke about it here as far as rewarding ourselves with a break and taking small breaks that work. Small breaks that work, that are going to accomplish, okay, now I'm ready to get back in. If we see it's being an incredibly hard day, sometimes you have to know when just not to throw in the towel with our learning, but with that particular marimakom. You decide, what kind of a Jew doesn't learn Taros at least once a week? So what am I going to do? So I am, every week I'm learning a sugya in Taros once a week. And Taka, klimateches. Wait, what's one unique halakha klimateches? Great, doesn't require a base kibble. That was what we call, we're building connections in Chazara. So I have my klimateches sometimes. It's Reb Chaim and Hilchos Kalim in Perek Yud. It's just really hard. Sometimes I'm sitting there, I want to build my asmada. I want to be able to learn for those 45 minutes and then get my break. I'm in the middle of Reb Chaim, and sometimes if it was a fight between me and Reb Chaim, he just won. I lost. Knockout. I can't do this right now. I don't have the koach. I use this all the time with different chavrus of mine. This is what happened sometimes, I believe, if I remember correctly. Rabbi Barto Brum is a rabbi now in Rabbi Diaras, and he has a shul in Brooklyn. He's great. Some great. There were times where we're learning Yevamos, this would come up. And Zvachim, this came up there also. It's towards the end of Seder. We learned from afternoon Seder. Second Seder was 3 to, I said second Seder for the people from Jewish backgrounds, they could feel at home, from 3 to 6:30 in YU. And there are times where it's 5:45 and we know we're in the middle of a brisker rav right now, and this is not the time of day to be doing it. We tried a little bit, not time of day. There are two options sometimes in those siddharim. One is to just float for the remaining 45 minutes, read a couple lines, maybe talk for a while about something, read a couple lines, talk for a while about something. Sometimes what's best for our hasmada, we have to be very careful with doing this. You do it too often, and you're never able to read a long marmakom. But there are times where, particular times in the day, particular times in Seder, I'm going to pick this up, the beginning of Seder tomorrow. Now is just a little bit too challenging of a time. I'm going to move on to the next marmakom. I'm going to move on to the next section. Sometimes it happens. It can happen in Bikias. It's a really hard sort of 4 or 5 lines. I would do this sometimes. I would mark off, a small section of my Gemara. I'll move on. I'll tackle it the first thing tomorrow. Sometimes for Hasmada, we get stuck. We need to be able to gain the skill of fighting through. We also, it's sometimes helpful to be able to gain the skill of sometimes saying, again, I know this. I can say this with authority about my own shir. I can say this with a very strong educated guess about other shirim. Let's say this in my shir. Everyone should forgive me for what I'm about to say, but this is true everywhere. Learning at 9:35 in the morning is much stronger than 11:53 in the morning. That's true everywhere. It's not a learning at 9:35, starting the day, for most people, is a little bit better than that. Let's say something else. Is that okay? Mechila from all the people in the share. But, yeah. It's true for me also, so we're all in together. Maybe it's my fault. The afternoon, learning at 3:38 is better for me than learning at 7:10. It's easier. I'm able to accomplish things that I can accomplish at 7:10. I just have to know that as far as Hasmada goes. If there's certain times of the day which are harder, I need to gain the skill to be able to make it through Reb Chaim Hilchos Kalim. I need to. But I also need to be able to know that there's certain times of the day when it's better to do that, certain times of the day when it's not as good to do that. That's part of Hasmada. That's part of Hasmada also. Let's quickly chazer what we spoke about and end with one point. We spoke today, we had four sections to what we spoke about. Section number one, we spoke about how it's hard to have a good attention span. We spoke about an introduction to Hasmada, the Maharal, towards above time, and therefore our commitment to it has to be above time, the Chazanish, a little bit here, a little bit there. Kiyum ha tohu ha efes veheder, not that productive. Learning as far as time, learning as far as place to place. We defined Hasmada. Hasmada mission avo, someone who really doesn't sleep a lot, really working very hard. We offer two alternate hagdaras. One, the Hasmada that they describe in Sefer Torah Chaim, but the Hasmada in Mir. You get the sleep you're supposed to get. Waxman told me in Gimzu, there's a grandson of Dov Lior. Dov Lior is one of the more prominent people in the Zionist world. A really very chashav posek, Sud Tavar Chevron. Said his grandson's in Gimzu, Amzah Hakpada from his grandfather, but sleeps 8 hours a night. Every night, 8 hours a night, no matter what. A big masman, 8 hours a night. He needs to sleep. He needs to sleep. Things know Hasmada wise, if we need our sleep and it ruins us the next day, it's not called Hasmada to stay up later if we would ever. If we can learn later, then we should be learning later. Then the tziv idea we spoke about, the 24 at 20, you know, 60 minutes in an hour. When we learn, we're learning. When we eat, we're eating. When we sleep, we're sleeping. The chopping the minutes of the chasm sofer. We then spoke about three misconceptions. Assuming that if it's a hard day, it's not the day for Hasmada, I'll give it a shot another day. No, Hasmada is doing the most we can at that particular time period. We spoke about the Rambam, not assuming there's going to be a later time where lots of shrach, so it's going to be easier to cultivate a certain media of Hasmada. That's really not that true. It's not going to be that simple even late. We need to try to work now. Try to work now, even when there are certain distractions, try and overcome them. And the third idea of the Chazon Ish, not thinking that Hasmada is one of the things, it's important to remember, Chazon Ish, not that love causes Hasmada, that's also true, but Hasmada is one of the things that generates a real Avas HaTorah. Clocking a good state with a bunch of hours cultivates a good sense of Hasmada. We spoke about a bunch of different ideas in the Asay Tov. We spoke about, or more in the Sormei Rav first, then we spoke, the last section was actual Eitzos. Removing the distractions. That's true when you're studying. That's true when you're learning. Distractions make it harder for us to do. That's increasingly well known in the world of business. That's what we quoted here from Forbes, where you have more and more meetings that are done without cell phones, without email. More and more, if you're a person who's into like the self-help stuff, you read Forbes sometimes for different ages, but things like that. More and more people encouraging you, don't check emails off. Don't check email that often. Don't check email first thing in the morning. It'll take up too much. Focus now on the work you got to do. Have a game plan. Something which is really very, very helpful. We then spoke about smaller tasks when possible. When possible, smaller tasks. I'm now going to focus on this. I know what I'm doing. My goal right now is to do this. To get the question. To get the three answers. To get the Ramban. To get the Rashba. When possible, something which is very, very helpful. Rewarding ourselves and using breaks intelligently. Rewarding ourselves can mean sfarim also, it can mean food, it can mean if I learn a really good night seder, now I get 2 hours of night seder, it's in the YU days, I never did this but I wish I could do it tonight. If I get a really good 2 hours of night seder, I go to Golan and get like a great dinner. You know, something like that. That thing that can work. Golan's a shawarma place, it's fantastic. I can get that. That's one of the things which is rewarding ourselves with breaks also and trying to build the time. Trying to build the time. If I can do now 20 minutes, I can now do a half hour, whatever it is, a half hour, I take a 5 minute break. If that means I'm sitting down, just staring for a little bit, or that's one thing. If I need to go outside to take a 5 minute break, that's great, but I know I have 5 minutes and I'm back in. I'm not getting caught up reading 394 messages on that sheet over there to see if anything changed on my sheet about women's learning tonight. Like, any new questions there? It's the same sheet. We go and we We don't get stuck, the 5-minute break, and we try and build time. It starts out at 20 minutes, and then goes to 25 minutes, then goes to a half hour. Don't shoot for too much too early, and don't settle for too little. The step that you can make to try and build in that direction, those are the things that we spoke about. We should be successful in that. Hasmad is one of the things that can guarantee a lot of learning. I'm sorry I said that, I felt like we're over 12 seconds. We should be zocha to really try and build within ourselves the ability to focus more. It'll help us so much in life, in so many different areas. If we gain the skill of being able to concentrate and focus, it'll change our learning, it'll transform the skills that we get, that which we're able to remember, it'll transform later in life our ability to manage different things, to be able to focus while we're at home, to be able to avoid distractions in work. It is such an important skill to gain. This is a great time to gain it. We're in a little bit of a secluded place here. It's a great time to be able to gain it. We should be zocha to gain that midah of hasmada. Thanks so much. Have a great night.